entry. So there was some things going on there that they didn't understand. And it goes on and it says, so those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosening the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. Notice that this is the first time that Jesus himself says, he calls himself Lord. It's the first time in all the scripture that Jesus refers to himself as Lord. Because he said, if they ask you, why are you untying that donkey? To say the Lord has need of it. He had a need of it. Amen? I want you to know that a donkey in those days, that day and age, was a very valuable asset to the person, the family that had it. The donkeys would do, they'd carry stuff for them. They were very, very functional. They were used for a lot of things. So in other words, a donkey was something that was important to that people of that day and age. If you had a donkey, you could work. You could get to places. You could do things. Amen. If you didn't have a donkey, it was a little harder. So for someone to come and take something from you that was important, of value from you, it would be like me just showing up at your house and saying, you know what? You have a new car, and I'd show up and say, you know what, I got the keys, and I'm starting the car, and you'd walk in and say, what are you doing, Pastor? Oh, the Lord has need of it. How many of you would say, okay, Pastor, go ahead? How many of you say, well, wait a second, Pastor, that's my new truck. That's my new car. Right? David said, as long as I put gas, it'd be okay. The thing is, it was something of value. Something of importance to the owner of that donkey. For him to say, fine, or okay, or whatever he said. It said that he loosened it. They said, the Lord has need of it. And he was okay with that. We'll bring it back when we were done with it. The donkey. How many of you realize that that donkey had one of the most precious and one of the most meaningful jobs that day? He had to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. He was carrying the King of Kings on his back. And people were laying down, as we're going to read later, they were laying their coats down, their cloaks, they were laying palms down. And this donkey had the King of Kings on his back. Every step was important. Every step needed to be stable because he had something of great value on his back. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Then they brought the donkey to Jesus. It says, and they threw their own clothes on the colt and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. This morning we were talking about, Selena was getting into my message a little bit. I was going to have to tell her to stop. Because as they laid their cloaks, their clothes, their jackets, basically it was their covering. In other words, what you put your trust in, what covers you. As an individual, if you see Jesus, you've got to come to him and say, you know what, I'm laying things down, Lord. I don't want to trust in the things of this world anymore. I don't want to be the person that I am anymore. Because you know what? You start realizing the person that you are. And you start realizing the sinful nature that we have. You start learning about the things that you've been taught. The things that are in you that you know don't line up spiritually with God. And you start laying these things down. And you start saying, Lord, I lay them down because I honor you. I recognize you as King. I recognize you as Lord. And Lord, I desire you. In other words, there was a shifting in the atmosphere. How many of you realize when Jesus shows up, when you're in a place of holiness, something shifts, something changes? How many of you have ever been sitting in a chair and someone during worship or during someone's teaching or doing someone's preaching, all of a sudden you start feeling something in your heart that's telling you, I got to make something right. I got to do it right. You start kind of reconciling in yourself and saying, there's some things I need to change because they're not right with God. You feel the presence of God and you want to change. Well, that's what these people were seeing. They were seeing Jesus riding on a donkey. And they were recognizing Him and seeing His humility. And you've got to understand, like I mentioned earlier, they had seen Pontius Pilate march in on a horse. Probably a horse, a beautiful horse. And the people were looking at Him, but they were fearful of Him. They saw Herod come in because you know what? The thing about it is during the time of Passover, you know, it's kind of like the fiestas or a big celebration. Whenever you have that, you have to bring in more security. You have to bring in police officers. You have to bring in different individuals to control the crowd. Isn't that right? Have you seen that before? We have an officer with us today. They call you in when there's a big crowd, right, Jason? And the thing about it is, that's the way it is. That's why it was there. So they had to bring in these governors. They had to bring in these leaders so that they could kind of take control and make sure things were happening right. And the thing about it, there was such a multitude of people. And as Jesus came in, all of a sudden the atmosphere was changed. Because no longer was their eyes on Herod or Pontius Pilate. Their eyes were turned to Jesus. And you've got to understand, the people that were looking at Jesus were the ones that probably heard Him when He spoke. These are some of the people that knew that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. These are some of the people that said, this is the guy. They were probably saying, because there was people there that didn't know, that says in the Word of God, I think it's in John or Matthew, where they say some of the people looked upon Him and they weren't sure who He was. And other people started speaking to Him and said, this is the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. They started recognizing Him and they started talking, and the stirring of the people got excited. And they started throwing their jackets down. It says that they got palms. They were waving them to Jesus. They were putting the palms down in front of Him. In other words, they were honoring our God. They were honoring Jesus. They said, this is the one. And you know what? The thing is, when He came riding on a donkey, the donkey meant peace. It meant peace. Here He comes in peace. The thing about it is, there was a lot of people that had a lot of mixed emotions. Some of them were saying, here comes our King. He's coming to overtake the Romans. He's coming. He's a Messiah. He's coming to establish a kingdom here on earth. They didn't realize it was a spiritual kingdom that He was coming to establish. Others were probably saying, who, the son of this carpenter, who is he to ride on this donkey and proclaiming himself to be a king? He's the son of Joseph. He's the son of a carpenter. So some of them were upset. There was others that would look at Him and say, no, but I heard Him speak. I heard Him when He healed people. Some of them were standing there and say, I was the leper that He healed. I was the lame man that He made well. I can see because He made me well. I was blind, but now I see. That was Him. So see, there was a lot of mixed emotions, and then there was some of them saying, I don't even know what's going on. How many of you realize when Jesus shows up in your life, there's going to be people that are for you? There's going to be people that are saying, man, I'm so happy you're here. You're part of the family. You're going to heaven. And then there's other people that are saying, you know what? What's wrong with you? Why are you believing them? Are you becoming a hallelujah? Are you becoming a holy roller? Are you becoming one of those Bible thumpers? They say a lot of things. And then there's others that look at you and say, I don't know what you're doing. There's confusion. They're waiting to see what you're going to do. But that's the way it was. Whenever you're around a lot of people and you're trying to do something, you're going to have people for you, you're going to have people against you, and you're going to have people that can't even figure out what you're doing. There's other people that don't even care. Right? And that's the way the crowd was in front of Jesus. But all of a sudden, as the momentum built, people got excited. They started to see there was people that were crying and thanking the Lord for what He did. Can you imagine being one of the ones that was sitting with the 5,000 when you saw him break 5 loaves of bread and two little fish, and he multiplied them, and as he multiplied them, everybody ate? Can you imagine that? And then all of a sudden, now here he comes, riding on a donkey, during the time of Passover, when kings show up, when people of authority show up. And then you have the other ones, the haters. The ones that, they don't want you to be successful. They don't want you to do anything right. Which are the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, one of the things I learned as I was looking into this message was the high priest, Caiaphas. He was the high priest. And I want you to know that basically, during any other time, he was the man in charge. But during the time of the Passover, when the governors and all these people that had more authority came in, he lost his power. He lost his authority. In other words, it's kind of like if we were having fiestas here, and the mayor's the one that's in charge, but then all of a sudden the governor shows up, and the lieutenant governor and all these other, well, they kind of lose their power. And sometimes it's not very excitable when you lose your power. So this guy that was the high priest, all of a sudden he recognizes Jesus, and there's a multitude that are cheering him on, and they're excited about him, and they're saying, Hosanna to the King. So jealousy sets in. How many of you realize that there's some people that are jealous of you? They're jealous because they don't want to see you succeed. Whether at your job, whether it's your family sometimes, whatever it is, there's people that are jealous of you. And the thing about it is, when jealousy starts moving, it causes conflict. How many can say amen to that? And the thing about it is, let's read on, and this is what it says. It says, they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in earth and glory to the highest. It says, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. This is the spiritual people of that day and age. The religious people. Let me get into this a little bit. See, what people that are religious try to tell you to do is you have to do certain things to fit in a box. And you gotta act a certain way. See, Jesus came and he told people, you know what? You've gotta start getting out of your little religious boxes and you've gotta start being what God has called you to be, because inside of each one of you there's gifts and there's talents, and I wanna bring them forward because I wanna see you using those gifts and those talents for the kingdom of God. See, before that, they would always say, people with leprosy, they push them outside the city. They weren't supposed to be around people. Jesus comes and all of a sudden, he's touching them. Shift. Therefore, when people tell you, are you becoming a religion, a religious, just tell them, no, I'm falling into a relationship with Jesus. And it says that some of the scribes and the Pharisees called out to him from the crowd. It says, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Because they were praising him. They were honoring him. The jealous people were saying, tell him to stop. That's not right. What they're doing is wrong. But I bet you if they were on the donkey and they were getting praised, they would like it. They would have liked it. But because their praise wasn't being given to them, they didn't like it and they wanted it to stop. You know, I've been doing this study on all the things Jesus said while he was on earth. And it's amazing what he does. You know, they're telling him to tell the disciples, they're telling them to tell the crowd to stop. And this is what Jesus tells them. I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Isn't it amazing how he doesn't get moved by what they're telling him? How many of you sometimes, someone tells you, you know what? You need to tell your disciples to be quiet. We would probably say, and who are you? Who do you think you are? We escalate it, don't we? Sometimes even at home, you walk in and your wife says something and you say something back, or your wife says something and, you say something, she says, and you escalate the situation. It becomes uglier than it needs to be. Jesus just really comes in and he just says, you know what? He didn't argue with them. He just said, if I tell them to stop, the rocks are going to start crying out. They're going to start worshiping me. Isn't that amazing? That he doesn't argue with people. He just says something and he changes the anger, or he changes the atmosphere. I think we need to learn that from him, huh? So that we diffuse situations in our relationships, at home, at our work. We diffuse them and let God have glory. Amen. So he says, I tell you that if these should keep silent, that stones would immediately cry out. It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. I want to spend some time here, because you've got to understand, Jerusalem is a place for God's people. It was a place that was recognized at that time as the capital, the place where the people would come. It's supposed to be called the City of Peace. And the thing about it was, when Jesus was coming, he saw the multitudes. And in the midst of those multitudes, like I said, there was so many different emotions. There was people that were happy, people that were angry, people that were confused, people that couldn't figure out what was going on. And he's looking at all of them. And he starts to weep. And the reason he starts to weep is because he knew what was coming next. Here they were yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. They were waving their palms and laying down their cloaks and saying, you're the King, you're the King. And it even says that they were referring to him as, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. In other words, they were recognizing that he was the Savior from heaven. That he was here. Glory to, peace on earth. Glory in the heavens, because he was fulfilling what he was called to do. These people didn't even realize what they were saying, but they were honoring him and recognizing for all the authority and the power that he really had and he was demonstrating here on earth. But these people, they were just saying words. And there wasn't heartfelt. Because they were just saying these things. He saw their hearts. Their hearts were far from Hosanna to the King. See, and that's what's happening in the world today. There's statistics that say that 85% of the people in America claim to be Christians. They claim to believe in Jesus Christ. But yet our world is full of darkness and anger and meanness and hate. And we see things happening that are confusing. And we say, well, if there's so much good people in this world, why is all this bad happening? Because you know what? They're just words. They're just words. What the Lord is really wanting, he's wanting individuals to surrender their hearts. That's why it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 12, that if you believe in your heart, you believe in your heart. It has nothing to do with your mind. If you believe it in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, then it is real in your life. See, a lot of us are speaking from our minds, and we say words that come out from our minds, but it's not really touching our hearts. You know, one time I was with my dad, and my dad, God bless him. When I think of my father, I think of someone that was a man that knew how to ask for forgiveness. That's what I see my dad. Because my dad, at the age of 13, I was 13 years old when my dad and my mom divorced. But at the age of 26, my dad came back into our lives and he asked for forgiveness for what he had done. And he said, I can't change what I did, but I can change what I'm going to do from now on. And I want to be a grandpa. I want to be a grandpa to my grandchildren, he said. And I remember one time I was driving with my dad. And I said, Dad, how did you overcome the battle with alcoholism? How did you do it, Dad? There's a lot of people that try, but they always fail. They can go for years, but then they fall. The beautiful thing about it is we were driving because, in fact, my mom had called me. He had been struggling a little bit with heart pain. And I was driving to him with the hospital, and I asked him, Dad, how did you do it? And he said, Hito, for many years, I wanted to quit, but I wanted to quit here. But when I really made up my mind to quit, I spoke it from here. And I was able to stop. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is if you see my children and you say, your grandpa was an alcoholic, they'd say, no, he's not. He never drank in his life. Because they never knew him as a drinker. They never knew him as a drinker. But see, it's the condition of your heart. And that's what the Lord's saying. He doesn't look at the exterior and all these things that we do and all the stuff that makes us up. He says, I look at the condition of your heart. And that's what's important to him. So when he was looking at the people coming into Jerusalem, he was looking at their hearts. He wasn't hearing the words. Because you know what? Our God can look into the future. 4 days later, the same people that were saying, Hosanna to the King, we love you, Jesus, you're the best thing that's ever happened. Thank you for coming into Jerusalem. We're going to be yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. Let Barabbas go. Let the murderer go. Let the criminal go and crucify this Jesus. It's a big shift there, isn't there? As he marched into the city of peace, he knew that in the near future, they were going to be yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. And that's why he wept. He knew he could see what was going to happen. And he knew the condition of the hearts of the people. And that's why it's so important that in this day and age, that we not be those individuals that speak good words, great preachings, great prayers. We speak good things. They're not from the heart. We've got to mean what we say. We've got to believe it with all our heart. And then let our minds line up with our heart and our mouths. Because there's a lot of people out there that are struggling with a lot of things. They're battling. And we all have them in our family where they're battling with addictions. They're battling with certain things. It seems like they're in the midst of trouble all the time. And we're saying, why? But you know what? I've sat with them and I've talked to them. And all they do is they say, well, I'm going to change. This is the last time. I'm not going to do this again no more. Only to fail again. It's because, you know what? We're not speaking from our hearts. Only God can change a heart. And everybody celebrating him and everybody honoring him, it would have been very easy for him to say, oh man, this is good. This is good. But you know what? He knew the cross was before him. He knew the cross was before him. He knew the suffering that was going to take place was in front of him. But yet he didn't look back. He continued to move forward. Because it says that he counted what was before him greater than what he was going to face. In other words, Jesus was looking into the future saying, I know I'm going to have to suffer. I know I got to go on that cross. But because I go to that cross and they put me on the cross, the victory is going to come when they lay me down. But on the third day, I'm going to resurrect. And when I resurrect, there is a people, even into 2019, they're going to be gathered in Living Word Ministries in Cuesta. And they're going to know that there is a God that died for them. They're going to know that there is a God that not only died, but He resurrected. Because He could see into the future and He said, I'm going to do this because I know there is a people that are going to remember it and embrace it. But I challenge you this morning as brothers and sisters, let your heart condition be changed to the things of God. You know what? We can all, what do they call it? Lip service. We can all speak good things and we can say a lot of great things. But if it's not coming from your heart, it has no value. No value. When you really speak from your heart and you mean it with all your heart, you're going to see great results. And that's the challenge I give you this Palm Sunday. Let's not be some of these individuals that are waving our palms and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, that's Jesus. That's the one that fed the multitudes. That's the one that healed the sick. And that's the one. See, they were all talking because they were hearing what Jesus said. But the ones that really knew Him, they had experienced Him. Lazarus probably saying, that's the one that called my name when I was in the grave. The one that was blind is probably looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus, I'm so glad I can see you coming in on that donkey because you healed me. See, it was personal for them. It was heartfelt for them. It wasn't lip service. They knew what it was like to have a relationship and experience the greatness of God. And that's the challenge I laid here today. How many of you know Jesus for yourself? How many of you really know Him in your heart? Or do you know Him because of somebody else? I challenge you, fall in love with the Savior. And I'm not talking about religion here, you guys. I'm talking about a relationship. Get to know God for yourself. And you know what? It becomes a lot gooder. Amen? A lot of people get mad when I say gooder, but we used to have an English teacher in this church and she'd always tell me, don't say that. It's not the right word. It's not a word. I said, you don't know the heavenly language. It's gooder up there. It's really gooder up there. But you know, our hearts really have to embrace what God is doing, if we really want to see a difference in our lives. This is the time that they call Holy Week. Because this is when Jesus came in and He spent that week there in Jerusalem, knowing that He was going to be placed on the cross on Friday, but on the third day He was going to rise. This is a time for us to really reflect and say, do I really believe Jesus marched into my life? When He marched in, was it all lip service for me? Was it like, oh, thank you, Lord? It was an act of saying the right things and doing the right things? Or did I really feel a heart change experience when I met Jesus? Is my life really embracing everything that Jesus really is? Do I really believe that He was the Son of God, sent from heaven to show us the way? If we believe in Him, all of heaven is opened up for us. The promises of the Word of God are for each one of us if we believe. Do I really embrace and truly understand that? Or do I sometimes just say things because it's the right thing to say? I know my message is a little hard this morning, but it's okay. I want you all to go to heaven. I don't want us to get up there and Jesus look at us and says, I knew you not. Because it even says in the Word that some are going to come and they're going to say, Jesus, Jesus, here I am. He's going to look at him and says, I don't know who you are. I don't know you. Sometimes we need to hear the truth so that we know what is real. Amen? Today I really want to let you know the reason Jesus wept over Jerusalem is because he knew there's a lot of people there that still didn't believe with all their heart. It was all part of the lip service and saying the right things. How many of you know what I'm saying when some people just sit there and they say the right things to you? They tell you what you want to hear. How many of you have sat with somebody and they say, man, I wish they meant it. That's what Jesus was feeling right there. I really wish they meant it. So this morning, I challenge you as a people. That God comes to love you this morning. You're important to him. It's between you and him. Because I don't want to know my God because my wife knows him or my mom prayed for me or my grandma prayed for me. I want to know my God because I know him. I spend time. I get on my knees. I read his word. I cry out to him. And sometimes even when I'm talking to people, I hear Jesus in you. Because he uses people to speak to us. That's the cool thing about it. And you know what's really neat when you're around people that are real, really in love with God? It's fun. It's fun. Because they're real. They're not going to tell you things that you want to hear. They're going to pray for you. They're going to help you get it right. And that's what I want. I want real people around me that are going to tell me if I'm messing up. They're going to tell me, Pastor, did you really say that? You need to shut your mouth. How many can say amen to that? We need real people helping us get to where we need to be. So this morning I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Amen. And I'm just going to give you as individuals an opportunity. Like even Sister Joella said this morning when she came up, she said, you know what? She just felt the Spirit of God in her and she felt there was heaviness in here and she wanted everybody to just plug in. Plug in with Jesus. Because she knows it's good. It's gooder right there. Amen? So this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. And even as she said, let this Palm Sunday be something special. Let it be something different for you. It doesn't have to be the same old every day. We talked last Sunday about getting off the merry-go-round and start being people that walk with direction and purpose. So this morning, I just want to give anyone in here the opportunity just to come to the altar and just say, Lord, I want to make sure my heart is right with you. I don't want to have lip service in my mouth. I want to have a true heart. I want to know my relationship with God is real. So just close your eyes where you're at. Even forget that anybody is here. It's between you and God. I want you to know that sometimes I get up here and the Lord changes my message. This was a message that the Lord really kind of moved around in. Because there's some people here that God wants to speak to your heart. He wants you to have that relationship with Him. He wants you to be able to change so that things, there's a shifting in your life. So Father, right now I just ask, Lord, if there's anyone here that you are speaking to their hearts, Lord, let him just come to the altar. Let him just come to the altar and say, I want this Palm Sunday, I want this time of season to be holy for me. I want it to be a holy week because I'm spending time with my Lord. I'm spending time with my God. I want it to be real. I want it to be lip service. So Father, I just ask, Lord, that you touch and move in hearts right now. As the worship team sings, just worship. Pray that anyone's here, let their hearts get right. In the mighty name of Jesus, I just pray. I just pray right now that every person here would just feel your love. That they would feel their worth in you. This world comes to put us down and destroy us and try to cause wedges in our family. There's a lot of things. But Father, you come here and you come to encourage. I pray for every heart that is here. That they may just feel your love. Father, I pray for every marriage that is here. that their marriage be blessed. That, Lord, that you bless the marriages that are here. Let, Father, all the lies, all the anger, just be kicked out of their marriages, Father. And let the love of God come in, Lord. I pray for families. We pray for whole families, Father. Unity amongst families. Where the enemy has come in to try to bring and divide, we say no. We invite the presence of God and we say, let Jesus rule in our families. And Father, we even pray for our neighborhoods, our village, Father. This valley, we pray for it. We ask for the presence of God to come and change the atmosphere. Raise up a people that are not afraid to stand for righteousness, Lord. Raise up a people that speak truth from their inward parts. That their hearts are surrendered to love of God like never before. Father, let this week be a time that there's a lot of self-reflection in our spiritual lives. And that we would start saying, I want to be all that God wants me to be. No more pleasing people. No more doing things because I want to be liked. Father, I want to be loved by you. I want to be loved by you, Father. Let me make good choices to show the love of God in my life. And I thank you, Father, the Lord, you're a God that loves each one of us. And Father, you have good things for each of us. Bless each person here, Father. And let the love of God be known in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone says, amen. Give each other a hug this morning.